This is live from Studio A, and joining us today, see if I can say the name right, Correo Aéreo is here. And they are a duo from a bunch of different places, actually. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
And it's Madeline Sosa and Abel Rocha. Just so happens you have a Duluth connection, don't you, Madeline?
I have a really, really special Duluth connection. My sister, Danielle Sosa, lives here, and we came up to be with her and to be with her at her coming out, her birthing of her new book, The Long Shining Waters, which is a masterpiece novel written with the central character of Lake Superior.
And it's been getting a lot of attention, too.
A lot of awards, a lot of great reviews all over the place. I'm just so excited.
Well, and you guys have gotten some awards and great reviews as well for your music. And you're currently based in Seattle, is that right?
Yeah, right now we're living in Seattle, Washington, on the beautiful Puget Sound, the Inner Salish Sea, which is called by the people, the indigenous people there. It's another incredible body of water.
But you're from Minneapolis originally, is that right?
Yep, grew up in Minneapolis.
And Abel is from Mexico City, right?
That's right.
So, we'll hear a song, and then we'll come back and talk about how your paths crossed and how you guys got together to make some music. But what do you want to play for us first?
Let's play, what is it, Abel? Tres Diamantes? This is a Venezuelan harp song with harp and maracas from the plains of Venezuela.
Venezuelan tune, is that what you said?
That was a Venezuelan tune.
Now, how did you guys get together? You're from different parts of the world. How did you find each other and get together and play music together?
We actually met in Santa Fe, New Mexico, a while ago.
And quite a while ago, like 20 years ago. We met by serendipity, I guess you could say. We started seeing each other at huergas and things like that. I was involved in the flamenco scene and doing a lot of theater at the time as well. And Abel came up from Mexico with a wonderful trio called Quetzalcoatl. And they were playing around, and I just had never heard these kinds of musics from Latin America, because like most people from the States, I was, you know, pretty much spoon-fed stereotypes about Latin America, including, you know, musically at that time. It was a long time ago. So when I heard this kind of music, I was really enchanted and blown away, really. I'd never heard, for example, the harp played in this manner. And it's a very, you know, complex, polyrhythmic, gorgeous, and funky way of playing the harp, not at all your ethereal, airy-fairy sort of, you know, concert harp sound. And Abel and I, we became partners, and he became my maestro and taught me really the basis of everything I know about these types of music from Venezuela, Argentina, Mexico, which are the main countries that we play traditional music from, and then also create our own music from that inspiration of swimming in those lineages. And then, you know, bringing together our other, my own, you know, bloodlines into it, which I can't help it. I have that gypsy thing going on in Sephardic and, you know, French and Russian and all that kind of stuff. So it's just evolved that way over the years. And we've been music partners a long time.
Now, the different kinds of folk traditions that you play music from, what do they have in common? You know, even though they're Spanish-speaking countries, of course, they're different cultures. So what does that music have in common?
Well, there is a lot of different common things. First of all, we have the same influences, the Indian influence, the Spanish, African heritage. In all of it, them, of course, there's going to be, and this is something very interesting to not be simplistic. There's similarities and there's differences. And sometimes the interesting thing for me has been that some countries have regions that are very similar to other countries' regions, mm-hmm. more similar than even in the same country, you know? Because we have kind of the same roots. Like, for example, in Mexico, we have a port that was like the gate of many different other cultures. And, for example, Venezuela had the same port, you know, like a port coast, mm-hmm. coastal area. It kind of shares a lot of similarities then, even transmuted in the music, you know. So to me and to us, it has been very interesting to observe all of these things, you know. And there is many things, like, for example, strumming patterns in all Latin America are very interesting, complex, polyrhythmic. They many times substitute drums, which many times people don't tend to think in that way, but guitars are played as percussive instruments many times. You know?
Well, like, for example, there's a kinds of music in Mexico where when the conquistadors were trying to destroy that culture, one of the ways that they did that was to forbid the playing of music, the way of praying, and the books were burned. And, you know, it's sort of a typical way of terrorizing a people and trying to cut the heart out sort of thing. And but you can't really succeed in doing that, because the human spirit will just find another way to express itself. So those drumming patterns that were used in the dancing and the ancient music and the way of praying with it were translated into strumming patterns on guitar and so on and so forth, that kind of thing.
Interesting, yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And you as a group, so you have lived several places and played several places. You guys spent some time in Austin, Texas, which is kind of a musical hotbed. what's the Latin music scene like there? Is there a lot of Latin music there?
There is now. When we got there, there was like, what, two?
You mean in Austin?
In Austin, Texas.
Well, I actually don't know much about what it is now, but I think the Latin scene, it's, first of all, I think Latin is a big, broad description of a phenomena that occurs in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it gets too short for this thing that are happening. but they are not labeled as Latin, you know. So there is a lot of music that it has identified that, like is the Afro-Caribbean music and all the music that is also suitable for dancing, kind of in a, it's accessible in that way. But as well as that could be tango, you know, and there is waves of interest from people playing and dancing that, you know.
So but when we got there in, I don't even remember what it was, linear time is not my friend, but when we got there, there wasn't really a lot going on. We were invited to go to South by Southwest and perform for the very first time that they actually opened it beyond rock music and Americana music to world music, and they made a big deal out of it, and they had Baba Yaga from Hungary and Vartina from
Finland,
that's right, and this huge South African band, and the Klezmatics, and us. So, and they did a big deal thing. It was really wonderful, and that was, we sort of got launched that way. We didn't know we were going to end up staying and living there, but we made so many friends and got offers to work, so we ended up staying. We had just come out of Mexico to play South by Southwest, so over the course of the years that we lived there, which was I think like 7 years that we stayed in Austin, the Latin music scene, quote unquote, grew hugely in all of these directions that Abel is talking about, and it was a very exciting time and many great musicians doing all kinds of things.
An interesting existing Afro-Brazilian
Band,
because
Susanna,
they celebrate
Sharp.
Carnival in every year in February. So.
Right. Lourdes Perez was there already. Nuevo Canción from Puerto Rico, really wonderful. But there wasn't, you know, then it just, it exponentially sort of exploded.
I was just curious about that because, you know, Austin is known for its Americana music and that certain kind of genre, but I would assume being down in Texas, a little bit closer to Mexico, you know, that there might be some
there was Tejano.
Influence there.
Yeah, there was definitely Tejano
always
there.
Has been. And San Antonio is very strong in that way and is not far from Austin. And I still think that it's predominantly Americana, what it's listened here.
There is tango there, the famous there's Tony Glover, what were they called? The Tosca
quartet.
Was there. Yeah, and I mean, there's it really was an interesting time, and there was a lot of interplay between artists of different genres, which was also quite rich. You know, that doesn't always happen, but Austin's a small town, and you know, it was a good time.
And while you were there, you did your music was used in a movie, or you did music?
Yeah,
we
did a lot of touring. We did a lot of touring nationally and internationally. And it's true, there's a film called The Life of David Gale, a Universal movie with a good movie, actually, with Kevin Spacey and Kate Winslet and Laura Linney. They used a song of ours in that film. And then we've done soundtracks. We've contributed tracks and stuff for other films, and we were invited to be part of a great documentary about music, Before the Music Dies, with, you know, in company with Eric Clapton and Erykah Badu and Questlove and all kinds of like stellar players from all different genres and things like that. Yeah,
wonderful. And then what brought you to Seattle from there?
We were touring. We toured there a couple times. We fell in love with it. It's quite a remarkable place, the nature there, and we have some good friends there, and we got invited to create a new work, a family style musical play that was a commission actually from Santa Fe, but we created it over 2 months in Seattle and then took it to Santa Fe, performed, did the run, and then by then we were hooked and we just were like, yeah, we have to live here. So we came back and we've been there now since then. That was about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear another song. What do you guys want to play next? We have the guitar now. The harp is put away, sadly. The beautiful, beautiful sounds of that instrument. But the guitar and the fiddle are coming out. What are you going to do next?
The guitar and the fiddle.
And the voices.
Let's do coplas. Do you want to say anything about the song?
Well, these songs are puts together a lot of verses, rhymes, of different feelings. One of them is the proximity of Carnival in South America, which is not just peculiar to Brazil, and it's always object of satisfaction. People wait for it very much. They live for it. So that's coplas from Argentina.
Arriba de unos árboles cantaban unos pájaros. Martes y miércoles, jueves, viernes y sábado. Una vez que te quisí y tu mamá lo supió, fue porque yo le dije que te casarás con
Wonderful. Another beautiful tune from you guys. Now, you you had sent us an album, and this one was from 2000. Mm-hmm. And have you guys made more albums since then?
Yeah, we have. We should have so many more. We have three. Well, actually, we have four. And that one, we just like that one a lot, so that's why we sent that one too. But yeah, we have provinces, Lo que me dijo el viento, which is what the wind told me. That's the one that you have. We have Para cantarle al río, which is to sing a river. And we have a new one coming out with a third, Amy Denio, wonderful musician who plays accordion and clarinet and sings in four octaves. She's crazy. And so we're doing our repertoire with her, and also her repertoire, her compositions with us as well, and sort of mixing it all together. And we call ourselves Ama Trio, and that's for, you know, Amy, Madeline, and Abel, or Abel, Madeline, and Amy. I like being a palindrome.
Yeah, that's kind of a palindrome. So you guys tour? Do you tour quite a bit?
We do, actually, and we used to tour all the time. And then we just wanted to sit for a while in one place. And now we're getting restless again. So here we are, touring again. And we'll be doing a lot more of that.
Great. And you mentioned that you have many instruments in here today with you, but you have many more that you will be playing this evening. Do you want to tell me about that?
That's right.
What was that?
Abel plays the cuatro from Venezuela.
What is a cuatro?
It's pretty much considered now the national instrument of that country, because it's played pretty much in every state of Venezuela. And like, because that, it's played with different combinations. Main essential is with the harp, but also it's with drums. Sometimes you see it with drums, you see it with other instruments that are similar to it, but larger.
Or low.
The fiddle, and like in the border of Colombia, in Mérida, it's played with the fiddle too.
And Abel composes on it, his own work too. It's like a four-string little guitar that everybody thinks is a ukulele, but it ain't. It doesn't sound like a ukulele. It's not strummed or played like a ukulele, but it looks like it would be in that family. So that's one. And then we have the bombo, which is a really beautiful drum from Argentina. The jarana from Mexico, which is in the guitar family that accompanies certain music from Veracruz, Mexico. And what else? Sundry things. I don't know. Since we're playing music from three countries plus our own, so we're doing several styles and different instruments. So there's just a wide variety that we can't really communicate in three songs. Mm-hmm. And we just didn't bring everything.
Yeah.
So you got to come tonight.
That's okay, though.
Check
That's
it
okay.
out.
I, yeah. And Abel, you grew up in Mexico City, and your dad was in a band too, right? He was a musician.
Well, yeah, my father... he was never a professional musician, but he is a good singer. He has a great memory for songs. So he knows thousands of songs, and almost I'm not exaggerating saying that. And they was in a romantic trio of boleros in the early years, in the 40s, 50s, with one of my uncles too, mm-hmm. which was actually another mentor for me into this. And his last band, my father participated in a larger band that he was playing these styles of music, but from other countries, you know. That was a very short period, but he kept always restless and active, learning stuff, whatever, in the music, but he never was professional. He made other things to make a living and raise us, you know.
Yeah, but he's in his 80s, and he's so charming and so beautiful, and he still plays like two or three nights a week and sings in bars. It's amazing.
That's
we just
great.
Visited. We were just visiting with him.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Oh, I want to be wonderful. Like that when I'm my 80s.
Well, I was curious. So when you were growing up, you were exposed to not just Mexican music, but also, you know, from Argentina and Venezuela. Is that music commonly known in Mexico, or is that just something that
I think I was lucky. There was both ways. My family actually in different, very different old ways was in relation with this. Like, for example, another inspiration for me that I had is one of my aunts was working for Aerolíneas Argentinas, the airline. Mm. And she actually brought me a lot of records. she brought me my first drum from Argentina, and I was like my first instrument that I played, you know, because I was playing guitar, but I never felt comfortable with that instrument. I felt first the bombo, which is the instrument from Argentina. And of course, it was a parallelism in that time, which is the early 70s. There was a lot of people in exile. There was a lot of people coming from other countries that politically were difficult. And they actually were banned to play their songs that had a lot to do with folk music. And then they probably after transformed into Canto Nuevo, which was more politically involved. But we were privileged because in Mexico we saw Argentinians, Chileans, people, Uruguayans, people, and actually they stayed many times. We saw after La Nueva Trova Cubana, which is Pablo and Silvio Pablo Milanés, Silvio Rodriguez, and Mercedes Sosa. I saw when I was 11 years old, I saw her first, you know. So all of these people, obviously, was a great, great thing to see. It's great inspiration for me. And it was in the life of a big city like Mexico, I felt that it was a short span of time, you know, because I never wanted to go, you know, and but other musics had to come and be the hot spot and in the 80s or 90s. Great music too, you know, but that was my time.
Well, that's great. Well, we have time for one more. What do you guys want to finish up with here?
We're going to do a song that a lot of people actually probably may have heard. It's our version of La Llorona from Oaxaca in Mexico. Beautiful song. If you ever saw the movie Frida, then you heard the great Chavela Varga singing this song herself. And it's a ballad of the weeping woman.
No sé qué tienen las flores, llorona, las flores del campo santo. No sé qué tienen las flores, llorona, las flores del campo santo. Que cuando las mece el viento, ay, llorona, parece que están llorando. Que cuando la mece el viento, ay, llorona, parece que están llorando. Ay, de mi llorona, llorona, llorona de azul celeste. Ay, de mi llorona, llorona, llorona de azul celeste. Aunque la vida me cueste, ay, llorona, no he de dejar de quererte. Aunque la vida me cueste, ay, llorona, no he de dejar de quererte. Ay, de mi llorona, 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 llévame a río. Ay, de mi llorona, 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 llévame a río. Tápame con tu rebozo, ay, llorona, porque me muero de frío. Tápame con tu rebozo, ay, llorona, porque me muero de frío. Thank you.
del templo un día lloró cuando al pasar yo te vi. Salías del templo un día lloró cuando al pasar yo te vi. Hermoso y pillabas llorones que la Virgen de creí. Hermoso y pillabas llorones que la Virgen de creí. Ay, de mi llorona, llorona, llorona de ayer y hoy. De mi llorona, llorona, llorona de ayer y hoy. Ayer maravilla fui a llorona y ahora ni sombra soy. Ayer maravilla fui a llorona y ahora ni sombra soy.
Well, thank you so much. That was just beautiful.
Thank you for having us.
That is Correo Ayarillo, live from Studio A. And I also should mention that last tune that you did is included on your Lo Que Me Dijo El Viento album. Mm-hmm. And I bet you'll have those at the show.
We will.
Probably.
We'll have them all.
Today's program was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Sarah Koshin, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.